All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We're starting our hour and a half of several different games. So let's go ahead and get started with the first one, Pale Carnations. We're bringing it back because I love Pale Carnations, and it's got 4.6 now, which is free. You can pick it up on Itch for free. It's a little hard. You have to use the Google search to find it that way. And you can also get it on OpiMan, just literally for signing up to OpiMan. You'll get it and the latest version for free. So why don't you do that? And just in case for some odd reason you don't, you can go and click on like free games and hit download and it'll be added to your library. So let's go ahead and get started with this great, one of my personal favorite adult visual novels. Self-actualization, you mean? That's the very tippy top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that theory? No, I've never heard of it. Well, it's a motivational theory that a person's needs can be broken up into 5 distinct categories, and that each previous category has to be satisfactorily fulfilled before moving on to the next. Basically, people are less concerned about job satisfaction when they're living paycheck to paycheck. Exactly. What you're talking about is self-fulfillment, which comes not only after your basic needs of things like food and safety, but also after the need of love and self-esteem. Not a lot of people hit the peak you're talking about. Most just get hung up on paying their mortgage or dumb family bullshittery. I mean, how many people short of a sociopath can really even confidently say that they love themselves? As far as I'm concerned, security, comfort, pleasure, That's the stuff a good life is made up of. Anything more is simply being greedy. As Felicia touted her hedonistic philosophy, I couldn't help but... Sounds like you've put a lot of thought to this. I've had time. Don't forget I've got like 10 years of life on you, kid. Thanks for accepting my invitation, by the way. I thought she was 40. It's weird you're thanking me, when I'm the one who should be. Oh, is that our food? We didn't even order, did we? That's because whatever the name of that place is, guys. Menu is table d'hote. Sure, yeah. Table d'hote. Oh, at least I got that right. Of course, duh. Sorry, I've got no idea what that means. It means you don't get to choose what you're served. There are restaurants like that, folks. That seems odd for a restaurant. What if I don't like what they're serving? Trust me, you'll like it. So, what do you have here? The first course is fettuccine alfredo topped with roasted baby tomatoes. Oh, that sounds great. First course? Yes, they have courses at this menu, Grim. It's not, the Mexican place down the street. It's a real high-class establishment. I said, staring down a heap of food. Yep, you better have room. Chief Nicholas comes from a traditional Italian family, which is to say he prides himself in making sure that all of his customers are well-fed. Don't leave a scrap on that plate. Heh. I guess bring it on. 3 courses of food later. Having scarfed down everything that had been put in front of me, I felt like I was about to die. Death by food. I don't think I've ever had a more delicious meal. Ever. Seriously, like for real. Ever. I will say, I thought you might enjoy it. You don't need to tell me though. I can see by the look on your face. Only 2 things leave a man looking like that. Food is one of them. I mean, who knew food could taste like this? I didn't. To be honest though, this is my first time trying fine dining. Well, I'm glad to hear it. You look as happy as a pig in muck, as my granny used to say. A slight accent colored the end of Felicia's figure of speech, eliciting a curious look from me. Oh, she's a country girl. Was that a drawl in your speech I just heard? Oh, no, son, you didn't hear anything like that. I don't know where you come up with those crazy ideas in your head. Oh, don't pay any attention to that. The southern girl in me slips out from time to time. A well-timed glimpse of it can be charming, but going full-on country in Moorhead Hills makes people look like you're a hick, so I try to keep it to a minimum. That sounds exhausting. Felicia clearly puts a lot of effort into the way she presents herself, no surprise given how beautiful she is, but it seems to extend all the way to the minutiae. Not really. You speak differently with Ian than you do with your own mother, I'm sure. It's like that. How was everything tonight? Was everything satisfactory? The waitress reappeared to check on us following the conclusion of our meal. It was. Pass my compliments along to the chef, please. I'll be certain to do that. Your service was excellent, too. I'll be sure to pass that along myself. Thank you, Mrs. Ford. I appreciate it. Will that be all for the night? It will. We were happy to have both you and Mr. Barnes here tonight. Thank you for dining with us. With a polite bow, the waitress dismissed herself for a final time, leaving us to figure out where to go from here. So, what's next? You wanted to do something else? Naturally. How does taking a walk and enjoying the night air sound? Well, sure, I suppose I could do with walking off some of this food. Where to, though? There's a nice park nearby. Should be the perfect place. At this time of night, we'll have a little privacy, too. All right, sounds good. Lead the way. After leaving the restaurant, we did as Felicia suggested and found our way to a park that was connected to the restaurant's plaza. Joining us on our leisurely walk was a gleaming full moon, hanging fat in the sky and graciously providing us with a nice backdrop for our idle chatter. It's nice out tonight, I said, painfully pointing out the obvious to get the ball rolling between us. It is. The city takes on a whole new character bathed in the moonlight, don't you think? We both stopped for a moment to silently take in the night's atmosphere. While Felicia peered past the concrete-coated skyline and into the interminable inky black sky, I found myself stealing a glance at my dinner companion. Stunning as she might be in that dress, I couldn't help but notice she looked a little cold. You look a little cold just standing there. Why don't we sit down? Sorry. You're suggesting we snuggle in the park like a pair of lovers? Really, you look cold. Thanks for your concern, stud. You'd think I'd learn by now to bring a sweater whenever I go out. No complaints, I hope. Felicia not so subtly tugged on my upper arm, sandwiching it between the warmth of her pendulous, sun-kissed breasts. You won't hear any from me. Though Felicia's affection did put a certain question forefront in my mind. What is it? If I'm honest with myself, Felicia's blatant interest in me is an anomaly that strikes me as odd. I've never had a beautiful woman show a strong interest in me. Sure, most recently there was Rose, but she was angling for an advantage at the club. Ostensibly, that isn't the case here with Felicia, I think. Why did you invite me out to dinner tonight? It wasn't really because you wanted to apologize, was it? Oh, you figured me out. You're right. I don't really feel bad about my little surprise. That look on your face was priceless. I loved it. That was just a pretense to have dinner. Yeah, but why then? I had fun with you the other night, with Ian and Mina. What else? She had said it simply as a matter of genuine fact, not to be disputed. It left no room for doubt. That was a silly question. Sorry, it's just most guys would be a little dubious of a beautiful woman's advances. Right, because guys should be the one to do the chasing, right? Screw that. Life is too short not to go after what you want. No, it's more like you're a rich, classy woman with the world at her fingertips and I'm a broke college student with... let's be honest, passable looks. Felicia narrowed her brow in a similar fashion I had just previously seen with the rude Mater Dei. Shit, did I say something to make her mad? Surprisingly, Felicia took my head in her hands and brought her face to mine like she was about to kiss me. Is she about to kiss me? Grim. Yeah? Shut. The. Fuck. Up with that shit. It was a forceful command that left no room for refusal. Okay. No harm in listening to the lady. Good. Staring Felicia straight in the eye like this, nose tickled with her perfume and her glossy lips within reach, it made me want to. That's right. A cute button nose like that, there's only one thing to do in this scenario. Boop! I quickly brought my finger to bear and pushed on Felicia's nose with tactical precision. What are you, a child? You sure know how to surprise a girl, that's for sure. Maybe there's the answer to your question. As Felicia pulled away, I was suddenly aware of the space the blonde beauty no longer occupied. How are you liking the club, by the way? I know you're new there, right? Ian told me as much when he first wanted to introduce us. It's a new experience, that's for sure. That's how I've come to think about it, at least, once I got over the initial shock. I was surprised to learn about it myself. At first, I thought Ian was just drunk and bullshitting me. Did he really just let it casually slip out like that? I know I may just be the new guy, but the old adage, loose lips sink ships, seems to be a relevant one for the underground prostitution ring. Or an underground prostitution ring. Just a feeling. Yeah, he did. Told me about what kind of place it is, said he thought I'd fit in and have a great time. Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because this has been a huge curiosity for me. Did you really join up just for fun? Felicia paused, appearing to be mulling over her answer. Yep, I have high hopes for this place, too. Felicia's seemingly frivolous response had me in pure awe. You're looking at me like I have a few screws loose. I don't appreciate it. I mean, it does sound odd. Odd. Allow me to illustrate something for you, stud. Oh. Within an instant, Felicia had thrown herself on top of me. Yeah. The feeling of my back being firmly pressed against the hard wooden surface of the bench coaxed out a surprised groan from my vocal cords. She had me pinned like a cougar holding down its prey, in every sense. You like the feeling of me pressed against you like this? Well... Without really processing what she was asking me, my head swiveled back and forth in an anxious motion, concerned that someone might just be nearby. Don't be so tense. I'll ask you again. You like having your face jammed into my tit flesh, right? Yeah, of course I do. No sense in lying to the woman. It's like trying to tell her the sky isn't blue. Good. Now close your eyes for me, will you? I want you to imagine something. What if someone... Shh! Close your eyes and imagine what I tell you. It's hard to argue with a woman like Felicia. She has a certain indiscernible effect on me. Perhaps for obvious reasons, like her being a beautiful and sexy woman. But there was a primal element to her personality that made refusing her feel like a futile effort. Basically, saying no to her felt like I'd be pissing into the wind. Okay. Doing as she asked, I closed my eyes. Thanks, stud. I promise you're gonna like the picture I'm about to paint for you. But first, we've gotta lay down a little primer. The last bit of her metaphor was carried under a whisper, hot breath pitched directly into my earlobe like some kind of auditory foreplay. I shivered in anticipation and Felicia pressed on, dotting my neck with little kisses while craning a hand down just past my stomach and onto the crotch of my jeans. Picture this, we're center stage at the club, you and me, stud. I'm helplessly locked into place. You're off to the side, taking in the sight. All you see in front of you is a mewling bitch grunting and whining, having been teased for nearly an hour without release. It's a pathetic sight, isn't it? A woman my age, of my social standing, shaking her hips like a wanton whore, instinctually trying to entice you to ram your fat cock into my twat and give me what I desperately crave. You and I, we're not alone, though. At this junction of whatever batshit crazy scenario that Felicia was building for me, I felt a tugging sensation at the mouth of my jeans, followed by the loud sound of my fly being unzipped. Huh? What naturally followed was the warm sensation of Felicia gripping my erect cock in her soft hands. Don't you... Shh! close your eyes. I did as I was bid, unable to resist the blonde bombshell as she gently began to stroke my cock out in the open air. Now, where were we? Right. You and I were not alone. Out past the stage is a number of familiar faces, patrons of the club. People of worldly influence admired and looked up to. Men of good moral standing, fathers, community leaders, philanthropists. Right now, though, they're no longer those things, are they? No. They're paying customers vulgar and base, eager to view what you are about to do to me. It's the same for me, too. You're looking at me, but you no longer see the woman you had dinner with tonight. No. I'm not Felicia anymore. I'm just a cock-hungry bitch drooling and babbling for release. Not a single soul in the room is what they seem, are we? In this room, we've all changed into something else, dragged down into the muck. I cried out as Felicia intensified her efforts at getting me to climax with her hands and words. You're not immune to the transformation either. You're no longer a student right now. All that studying, that stressful daily grind to establish yourself as a respectable adult, that's out the window. All you know right now is what's in front of you. A drooling cunt and right fuckable asshole completely at your mercy. The only question is, what are you going to do with them? Huh? Eh? Close your eyes, I said. Yeah! Felicia emphasized her question by jerking my cock at a furious, mind-melting pace. What are you going to do to me, Grim? You're not gonna fuck my cunt. Not yet, anyway. That'll be giving me what I want. But maybe you'll fuck my ass, or perhaps even that is too much satisfaction for the despicable slut in front of you. Felicia had me utterly charmed and raptured in the fantasy she was curating. She spoke directly to the dirty impulses housed in the deep recesses of my brain, driving them out of me and compelling me to give them a voice. Come on, tell me, what do I deserve? For that reason, I gave her an answer. I'm gonna fuck that ass! I was now actively taking part in Felicia's erotic story, hanging off every word and uttering ridiculous declarations. That's right, you're gonna fuck my ass again and again. No lube needed either. I'm already flooding out of my other hole. All you gotta do is reach down and slather your cock with what's freely available. You'll push into me, down to the base in one quick motion, causing me to squeal incoherently. You'll give me a proper spanking while you're at it, won't you? Enjoying the way my ass spasms with every blow. You enjoy watching it bounce, don't you? I do! How can such a tight ass shake like that? As I quickly discovered, Felicia had a talent for this, using her words to tease and cajole, ushering me closer towards a climax. Every obscene line was delivered in a saccharine tone, hitting its mark in between kisses and nibbles to my chest, neck, and hands. How in the hell did it suddenly end up like this? How many times have you come now? Twice? Three times? By now, you've packed my bowels with your jizz, every thrust displacing more and more of the thick cum. Anything even approaching a coherent thought has been fucked out of my head. All that's left is pure carnal delight. Yeah. Soon, I was feeling the recognizable signs of impending orgasm, my balls beginning to churn and tighten, ready to fire. I felt my cock rapidly swell and bloat, inducing a mind-racking pleasure that shook my entire nervous system. Felicia's tight grip now felt like pure fire on my overly sensitive prick, but I wasn't done yet. Gah! Using just her hand and the power of her imagination, Felicia had extracted from me what I felt was like the... Excuse me. Oof. Let me try that whole line over again, guys. Using just her hand and the power of her imagination, Felicia had extracted from me what I felt like was the biggest orgasm of my life. Gah, what the fuck? Is she some kind of succubus? Jeez, that was a ton. You could fill a glass mug with all that jizz. Where did that come from? That was out of fucking nowhere. I wanted to prove a point is all, after you looked at me funny. Huh? I felt utterly scatterbrained, unable to really recollect what preceded this burst of sexual energy. You were thinking there was something wrong with me for participating in the club out of personal enjoyment. Oh, right. Our conversation had drifted that way. This was my refutation of that. I'm not... You had a blast, didn't you? Picturing yourself sinking that low. Imagining fucking me silly in front of a bunch of old men who were jealous of your youthful stamina. You enjoyed it, right? I enjoyed it too. For the same reasons as you. Being debased by another person can be fun. Debasing yourself through the act of debasing another person can be freeing. My point is, it isn't unnatural to lean into your desires. That's why I'm participating in Kathleen's little game to answer the question. I couldn't deny that her words did have an effect on me. The fantasy she was dealing me, along with the physical affection she doled out, had pushed me easily over the edge. Still, the operative word is fantasy. There's a clear delineation from finding something hot to actually wading gung-ho into those depraved waters. Then again, I guess I've already cannonballed into those depths to begin with. Is there any harm in enjoying the swim? If my partner was you, I can't deny that the exhibition might be fun for me too. Hee-hee, you like me that much? Thanks for the compliment, stud. You walked, right? I'll give you a ride home. I've got some stuff in the morning, unfortunately, so I'm going to call it here. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Just like that, our date had concluded with a whirlwind of a bizarre ending. Despite learning a lot about Felicia, she still felt unquantifiable, unable to be neatly fit into prepackaged terms. Perhaps that's because she's insane. What a day. Treated to a fine meal and a handjob in a park from a wealthy married woman. What's tomorrow going to look like? Oh yeah, I told Hannah I'd come to the asshole and see her band play. Live music isn't really my thing, but it should be fun. I'm enjoying getting out of the house more than I used to. At any rate, today's events tuckered me out. Bacon! And there's an egg there, too. Brush teeth in the shower? I don't do that. I mean, I do brush my teeth, I just don't brush them in the shower. Got this new toothbrush that sounds like a UFO or something. Doesn't have the... It's got a... It's like, what the heck is that? Is this thing gonna take me to Mars? After a day of relative routine, I made my way to the asshole. The asp hole. Thanks solely to the head of the almighty internet, I might add, as Hannah's direction proved to be utterly indecipherable. What I found was a rather open venue, grimy and made to look like it had been carved into a rock face. Whoa, hold on, let me, A little bit too metal here. Turn that down just a little bit. There we go. What I didn't find amongst the sparse crowd was Hannah. I guess I'll go ask the bartender. Hey, is Hannah around? I was told she's playing here with her band tonight. The bartender looked up from the glass she seemed to be perpetually cleaning and gave me a quick look up and down. You're not some kind of crazy stalker fan type, are you? Would I tell you if I were? I'm a co-worker of hers. Hannah asked me to come see her play tonight. Oh, that's a shame. This is about the usual Thursday night crowd. The bartender directed me to look behind myself where a thin assembly of people were milling about, slamming back cheap beers, or just otherwise not gathering around the simply constructed soundstage. Oh? Off in a corner, I spotted two familiar faces, Harper and Jacob, chatting idly amongst themselves away from the crowd, if you could call it that. No one's really here for them. They could really use a fan or a stalker or two. I like them, though. They got a lot of spirit, which is why I throw a gig their way every now and then. At least on the slow nights. You know where she's at? I'd like to say hi. In the back with the rest of the band. They're on in 5. I guess I'll say hello after then. I'm not... First one's on the house, since you're a guest of the band. Alright, thanks. Ugh. Yeah, no shit it's on the house. This tastes like watered down piss. Maybe I should go over and say hello to Jacob and Harper? After finding a place to sit down and conveniently forgetting my drink somewhere, of course. Wait a minute. That's Mr. Burns. What the hell is he doing here? Sitting by himself in the back of the club was August. One would assume on first and second glance that the old man would look painfully out of place against the dingy backdrop wearing his yellow shirt and gray leisure suit, but that wasn't the case. Instead, he stood there with an inscrutable expression on his face, calm and comfortable, looking like he was part of the building itself. Thinking back to Veronica's audition, blow up aside, the two did sit together. Maybe they're close. Who should I go over and see? Alright, so we're gonna leave it off here, guys, and we'll be back next week with more Pale Carnations. Monster College coming at you next.